Yeah.
My life, my life, my life, my life in the sunshine.
Oh, welcome back, everybody.
Everybody, what a lovely Friday song.
It's a great Friday song. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
Sunshine.
I'm Brian Kelly. That's Jess over there.
Hey, yeah.
We're talking culture today on the Maggie Dawn Show. We're talking about culture as narrative, the stories we tell each other, and how we relate to each other. And that's literally how we think.
Absolutely.
Is telling stories to ourselves so that we can remember things, really. But this selection here, Roy Ayers, Everybody Loves the Sunshine. I saw a clip of Kamala Harris at a jazz record store, at a record store buying a bunch of jazz records.
Yeah.
And she went to, someone asked her, you know, what'd you buy? And she pulls out this album amongst other, Porgy and Bess, and she got another one as well. She's done this more than once. She goes and buys records and records.
Yeah, she likes music.
She cares about music.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's another way she can relate to other people. A lot of people have problems with politicians because they are so removed from the culture, from any culture. And so that's why I love people like Katie Porter, because she's loaded dishwashers before. And if you haven't seen Katie Porter in dishwashers, you should definitely look that up. If you like liberal Congress porn, go and watch Katie Porter. Dishwashers, because it's fun. But it resonates because she's a person. She's a real person. Kamala Harris is a real person who has experienced love.
Mm-hmm.
She's experienced joy. I'm not saying by saying that Donald Trump hasn't experienced those things. What I'm saying is he hasn't expressed it or shown it. I can't imagine the man dancing to anything or enjoying something or appreciating something. And that doesn't mean he can't or won't. I just can't see it. And I think that's one of the huge differences that I see between them. And that's what's going to resonate with actual people. Because you remember back in the day, they used to say, I'd like to go and have a beer with that guy.
Yep.
Yeah, I think W would probably be the best guy to have a beer with. I wouldn't necessarily want to have a beer with Al Gore, really. I'm conflating elections, but but point is, one's probably better at running the country and not necessarily. So Kamala's both to me. She can run the country. She can also talk to people about her experience and experiencing things like humans do. So, crazy. this. We've talked about politics all the way through. We've referenced sports. We've talked about music a little bit. We played all the pop music are all pretty much four same chords. If you're looking for that clip, I know when someone's looking for that clip, it's the Axis of Awesome is the name of the group that does that that medley of songs with all the four chords. And so I want to talk about TV. I work in television sometimes.
Sometimes.
I have an IMDb page. I've been in a couple things. It doesn't mean I'm necessarily amazing at it, although I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good actor, I think. I graduated with a degree in it, and I'm a pretty convincing Shakespearean actor. I could probably play Hamlet. The problem is I just would look like why didn't he eat Claudius? why doesn't he just... And a lot of, I came up in Chicago, so a lot of those theaters are very small, like the size of this room, and
you don't fit.
Boy, do I, if you put me on stage, that's a choice.
That's the whole stage.
Because my whole body, just being on stage, tells you an entire story. I did a show called Superior Donuts, and I played essentially the Deus Ex Machina at the end, this giant Russian dude who made the fight fair. By just being a giant Russian dude. And it's one of those where the protagonist is about to get the crap beat out of him, right? And there's a huge, and we're like, there's no way that this guy's going to get out of it. And all of a sudden, here comes the Russian guy with his giant Russian bodyguard, and I just walk on, and the whole And it's one of those, like, I got a cheer just for standing out there and looking with, like, no, I had Eurotrash outfit on, like a Guns N' Roses shirt on. It was amazing. Nice. But I walked out and just my whole body told one big story that said, hey, it's over now.
Hey.
Yeah. So I've worked in TV, I've worked in movies. So when they cast me, I know that they're telling a story through me. They're using my body and the way I look to tell a story, and then I have some lines. The lines don't matter. Like at the end of the day, they don't necessarily matter as much as, okay, that's what's happening, this giant person. They used me as the Goliath for their David to go and I've had bottles broken over my head, things like that. But even that works out. But to a larger point, media and TV and movies continue and mass produce those same Greek themes of man versus God, man versus man, those type of eternal narratives that we have, and they put it on steroids, essentially. And you know, every movie is the same. The main character has to sacrifice something to go and learn something, to go and move forward in the plot. And that happens in every movie. And it's just a different way of telling the same thing. All the MCU movies are all the same. It's just a different,
it's just slightly different colors.
Different colors, different, messages, different quips within the genre. But it's all reinforcing the same idea of stories, of narratives, of what the main themes are, and someone was asking me, like, Matt was asking me, is the world ready for, Pete Buttigieg as the, the vice president, are we ready for someone gay? I'm like, have you seen TV lately? Have you seen how many people
I don't
are
think
just,
we're ready to not.
I know. Like, every single, there's a lot out there. And again, a lot of it is ham-handed. Don't get me wrong. It's all stereotypical. All TV is stereotypical. That's the whole darn point. That's why you have stereotypes. It's because of TV. That's why Big Bang Theory works. It's the same joke every single time.
Right.
Just told different.
And it still gets people,
Yes, it works because it works for people. You know what I like to do is if you want to go and turn the tables on your TV, right? And if you still watch actual TV, because so many people have cut the cord still.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're in entertainment at all, you can write off your stuff because you have to keep up with everything. So all my stuff is written off. It's all a big write off. It doesn't matter.
Well, this little baby of a, what was it? I'm a switchboard and a patch cable.
Yep.
Well, maybe I'll start doing that.
Yeah, well, as soon as you get your artificial intelligence chip, we'll get. I'm just kidding. You're really smart. So anyway, what I like to do is when I'm watching TV, I like to ask myself, who do they think I am?
Mm.
So you watch any of your favorite shows and don't fast forward through the commercials if you have it on DVR or whatever. Watch the commercials and ask who do they think I am?
I like to do that. And sometimes I go, ooh, you got the, I am not your target audience. And other times it's like, oop, yep, okay.
Yep,
that's right on.
They got me. And boy, and think of the narratives like that. If you want to see ham-handed stuff, the drug companies, because pretty much every other commercial right now is for a drug that you can't get without a prescription. I don't understand that.
That makes me really angry.
Yes, because who's going to go to a doctor and say, you know what, doc, I know you went through 12 years of school and then several years of residency and you spent 24 hours, sometimes 48 on a shift just to go and prove you can and you can make decisions when you're dead tired and all this other stuff. You've been practicing for years and years. But I saw this one commercial. And I think I should be prescribed this one drug.
I think I should be prescribed these half dozen drugs.
Yeah. Like, who does that? So then I'm thinking to myself, they're not doing things like trying to sell the AIDS medication to the people who have AIDS. They're not saying, hey, you probably have AIDS. They're changing the narrative of what it's like to, look, that's what someone who has AIDS living like. They're always hiking. See, AIDS people can hike, and they can have relationships and laugh in the pool.
On the one hand, that's good. Let's change that narrative. But also, I mean, let's stop marketing drugs directly to customers.
Totally. I mean, we can't do cigarettes, but alcohol, no problem.
No problem. You can do that.
Sounds good, but we can't have the weed stuff.
Pharmaceuticals of every kind.
Pharmaceuticals. So even the stories we tell ourselves about drug culture, people are cool with cocaine. People do awesome things on cocaine and tea. Oh, that guy was so coked out when he did that. Oh, all baseball in the 80s. Yay, coke. There's never been remember that heroin story that worked out really good?
No. No, I don't.
No, I don't remember that story. Remember that?
I don't remember that story.
When Requiem for it? No, that's no. not. Let's not no, think no. about that again.
No.
Remember that? That one with Ewan McGregor. That turned out okay. He was okay, but after a lot of bad. Yeah. So again, think about the stories that they're telling you when you consume media, because that will tell you what is going on here. That's the secret. You look at your TV and say, what are you trying to sell me? Not what am I looking for?
Mm.
Because you want to be entertained. Sure. I totally get the wanting to zone out. I can't watch. There are certain shows. I can't just, I like The Bear. I love The Bear. I can only watch one at a time.
I've never seen it. People keep recommending it to me with that sort of caveat of mm-hmm. you can watch one episode at a time.
Yeah, if you ever worked in the food service industry, which I did a lot, it's there's a lot of anxiety. But if you wanted to collaborate on something or put something together or really give a crap about anything collaborative, it's stressful. But my point is that I like to zone out and everything, but think about what they're trying to tell you, what story they're trying to tell you, and what narrative they're trying to sell you, because ultimately that's what it is. And by the way, the United States is the best at exporting their culture, better than all the rest. 100%. Feel what I feel when I feel what I feel when I'm feeling in the sunshine. Yes, 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 yes. Do what I do when I do what I do when I'm doing in the sunshine. Not clap. See my heartbeat tonight. I can take the heat, baby. Best belief, that's the moment I shine. Cause every romance shakes and it burns. Don't give a damn. I love this movie.
It's so good. So good. Baby, no chance. I could dance, I could dance, I could
dance. Watch me dance, dance the night away. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Brian Kelly. That's Jess over there, spinning the awesome tunes. Mm-hmm. We're to dance the night away. And clap, because nothing makes you clap more than a Dua Lipa song.
Absolutely. Just,
what's going on? It's clapping time.
Yeah.
We're talking about narrative. We're talking about movies. We're talking about culture. This movie blew up mostly because of all of the things we're talking about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It hit on all of the cultural narratives. It hit on the narrative of Barbie just being, you know, the impossible dream of perfection and beauty and things. And it turns out that it's more uplifting than people would like to think about. And people had their own stories, and the Ken story, and the mm-hmm. idea of, you know, hey, let me sing at you.
Yeah.
You know, that type of stuff.
Sublime.
It just was... It was good in that it kind of parodied all of the narratives that we've told ourselves and everybody else about women over
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And men
over the past century, you know? Because again, we shoved ourselves all together in culture, some people for, some people not, and I hate the term melting pot because I don't know that it's as apt as before, but we're more like
trail mix.
We're a trail mix, an amalgamation of a lot of different things. And in doing so, that's great. We uplift the individual. We start feeling like the individual's more important, or at least each person has their own import or importance. Mm-hmm, and that's a great thing. But you also have to balance it out with we all have to live together at the same time. And that's why things like, you know, the Barbie movie was amazing.
And why that I did the Barbenheimer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So just having the contrast of those two films
yep.
right back to back. Man, that was a lot of human. That was a lot of human at once.
Yes.
And it was an incredible cultural moment to be a part of.
Yeah. Because, again, having those two movies come out at the same time offered a really good opportunity to experience the full gamut of culture.
It was really
I don't know about the full gamut. There's a lot of, but you know.
Yeah. So the group that I went with, we did the correct order. The order that is loving yourself, which is you watch Oppenheimer first and you get into the depths of all of that. And then you go see Barbie and you get uplifted. However, we could hear the bomb going off while we were watching Barbie just because it was just so loud.
Of course.
So it's a really touching moment in Barbie and all of a sudden.
Chris Nolan comes in. Great.
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring this into the culture of work.
Okay.
Because again, the story that you know, your hero in your rugged hero story that come from the Westerns and all that stuff, you know, the bad guys use all the technology and stuff to go and win, but the hero, like
scrappy.
Rocky, the hero is scrappy like Rocky and goes out and, you know, works out in the woods and lifts logs and, you know, does the work and does the montage to go and make it all happen.
Yeah.
Right. And then that's the guy who just, you know, the one who builds himself up and takes it. And that's what happens. That's the narrative. And you have to work to get it and you have to work. And by the way, hardworking people do that. The hardworking people of America, the hardworking taxpayers of America, hardworking people of America,
because
if you don't work hard, you're not American. If you don't work hard, you're worthless. Your worth is only as far as how hard you work. As you can tell from the people who put in all that work to invest the money and then sit there and wait for it to grow. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have... So Al brought up the idea, and it's a very important idea, that when we brought slaves over here, we destroyed their culture, would not let them practice their own culture and force them to be like us.
Mm-hmm.
Because destroying their culture means we win, right? So people got that's a little bit forced. Didn't really work so well. It turns out people still want to be themselves.
Yeah, people want to be people.
Funny how that works. But the way to go and really start to go and take care of people and tell them the story that you're a good person if you work hard.
You're based on a good person one definition of working hard.
But if you get down in that mine and work your butt off, Jesus will save you at the end. That'll be our next segment. But that's the idea. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be a millionaire by making an hourly wage.
Nope, never.
There's never a way you can do that. And in fact, you can barely become a millionaire unless you invest and win.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you pull off a really good, you know, there's ways to do it. My point is that
they involve luck.
Put luck or knowing people or having the right investors or being able to communicate your idea in such a way that people believe in you enough to throw money towards you. There's a lot of, I don't want to demonize people who, you know, make a business or start their own thing. I what I'm saying is that your worth is not about working hard. You do not have to suffer or hurt yourself or go through pain in order to be worth anything. Yes, overcoming adversity. Yes, overcoming obstacles. Yes, working hard to achieve what you want to do is great. Doing that unto itself is not.
Mm.
It is a way to completely burn yourself out. And that's what we're talking about when people say like quiet quitting and things like that. But that, again, they won the narrative there. People don't want to work anymore. It's to the point where people use that as a punchline. People don't want to work anymore. That's how ingrained in the culture it is. People want to work, but they don't want to work just for the sake of working.
They want to be respected as humans.
Yes. That's what we're talking about here. And so the culture of America is the culture of work, of telling people that your worth is only derived from how much you work and how hard you work at it.
And what kind of work it is.
And what kind of work it is.
Yeah.
Why is the, I mean, people, Cam wrote about to me about, he saw my IMDb page. You got to be on Shameless? Ah, that's great. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I was on Shameless, but you know how many years I spent working in crap jobs just to go and keep that dream alive, just to have the opportunity to be on that show? And even then, I just only got one line. Again, it doesn't mean that I am not grateful for that opportunity. My thing is that we worship things without necessarily knowing what they're about. And we assume that people did a bunch of work and they necessarily do. That doesn't mean that they're good or bad. You are not defined by your job, by what you do. You're defined by who you are and your culture and who you are within that culture. We're going to talk about religion when we come back.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Because if you want to tell yourself some stories, do I have some stories for you? Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Brian Kelly. Give me a call, 855-855-752-4842.
There we go.
I say this number every single day. I hear it multiple times, and I still am like, there was another number I used all the time, and it would just roll off my face without even thinking about it. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Brian Kelly. That's Chris Stapleton right there. And this is also Jess on the board here.
Hey,
That's Chris Stapleton. I'm not a huge country fan, but that's pretty darn awesome.
That was fun.
That was really good. Chris Stapleton's good.
Yeah.
And I really like the way he says Barner.
Barner.
Courtesy of Joe Zepecki. He turned me on to that. I play that every time he comes in. Love me some Joe Zepecki. I want a quick shout out to my RDX group. RDX is my group on my game Last War.
I am not familiar.
Not a lot of people are, but if you scroll around on like nerdy YouTube videos enough, you will get a pop-up of a guy running down shooting zombies, and you have to choose math equations.
Oh no.
Yeah, I was drunk one time and I tried to skip something, accidentally pressed on it, and then I downloaded the game and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll play this for a little bit. And then it turned out to be this massive, gigantic, like worldwide game that a lot of people got in the same way. And
drunk and accidentally clicked on.
Or something similar to that. I thought it was a different game, but then it's like a base building game and you build yourself up and then you join alliances and things like that. I did a whole segment on it with Jane and Greg a while back, but the idea is that this stupid game about killing zombies turned out to be this really amazing restoration of faith in humanity for me.
Oh, that's lovely.
Because at the time, you know, we're a startup company, so we have a lot of growing pains and things, and certain things that don't necessarily work the way that I want them to, and people
aren't... I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly. People don't collaborate the way that maybe you'd hope. But in this game, we had to, like, do a basic count-off. These people are all over the country. Like, I know people from Indianapolis, from San Diego. I got food discounts in different places from this one stupid game. And we counted off, and we just went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, like, in a row without anybody repeating. And we all followed directions and got together and actually cared about doing something. It's just a stupid game.
It's a beautiful thing.
But there's also, like, chat rooms and different talks, and there's old school rivalries between people. There were bullies. And my group is, and which is interesting because it's, you know, video game culture. We're run by a female.
Good.
Which is awesome. She's great. She's so much fun. Mama Red, you're pretty awesome. And by the way, that guy is looking at you way too much. Anyway, like, I mean, video game creeps are all over the place no matter what.
Yeah.
But this stupid video game was a doorway to talking to people I would have never, ever had a reason to talk to or would even like approach just in general. And this gave me, I talked to a bunch of Trump supporters. There's a lot of them who are very independent and, you know, naturally with the shoot 'em up game about zombies and blowing things up, there's a lot of people who like guns too.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah. And, but we have something in common that we'd rather not be jerks to each other and say, hey, and so because of that, we respect each other and have, it's, and it's all because of a stupid game. But it doesn't matter. It's culture.
It is.
That's the point. That's, again, the whole point of the whole thing. And so shout out to my RDX people in Last War. Yeah, it's important. It's, things are important. Getting involved in other things are important.
That's, things are important.
Very good. We should. I'm going to get a poster of me going, ha, ha, and it says, things are important, Brian. So good. If you just listen to me, everything will be better. What did he say? Things are important.
Are important.
What a, you know, there's Kant, there's, you know, there's Aristotle, Kelly. And there's Fancy Brian.
Fancy Brian.
Things are important.
Things are important.
So, all right. I'm trying to transition into religion here, and it's just not working. So I want to talk about religion.
Hard cut.
Hard cut. Going to right to religion, because it's the ultimate story that we've told ourselves. Why? Why did we tell ourselves these stories? Because I will tell you, we have a reason. We have a desire to know the end of the damn story.
Right.
And none of us do.
Exactly.
And we have to tell the story because there's, it, otherwise we're just
going to. It's too scary.
This makes no sense.
No, life does not make sense.
Yeah.
It is bonkers.
Yeah. If you want to talk about, you know, evolution and things like that, you think about that and then you go, so we evolved and then,
we're here.
Certain things collided and then we, like. And again, if you take in the idea that the way that we remember or think about things is story and narrative, and that's the evolution that made us be able to think, is that, how dumb are we really?
We're just a bunch of chemical soup, electrified meat. I mean,
but if you,
we're trying to understand ourselves.
Accepting that is very freeing, but it's also very scary.
Also scary.
So that's literally why religion. That's it. Because religion tells the same stories that we tell in our soap operas. They tell the same, like, you can watch a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and find something that's in the Quran somewhere.
Yep.
These are stories. These are narratives.
They're universal truths.
They're universal truths that people just kind of like put them together and they loop them together with a story.
Yeah.
That's how it works. And it's okay. It doesn't mean it's wrong. I'm not giving the case for anti-religion. If that is how it works for you, then awesome.
Different people find slightly different ways of explaining something that makes sense to them.
Yes.
That adds meaning to their life, that adds guidance to their existence. And that is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
As long as it guides your experience.
Yes.
And does not prevent you from having other people live according to what makes sense to them.
Exactly.
Glad we could come to this.
Well, then,
we've solved everything.
Well, the show's
Brian.
Done. We'll go and see you later, guys. Have a good day. I grew up Catholic, right?
Yeah.
And if you look through Catholicism, one of the fun things in the El Biblio is in the Bible is, you know, don't worship any gods other than me. You know, there are no other gods besides me. Worship no false idols. And I'm sitting there looking around this Roman Catholic church going, statue over there, there's a statue there, there's a statue there, there's a statue. Oh, come to find out that the Roman Catholic Church, the Romans, Roman, Roman, Romans, Rome. They conquered a lot of land.
They sure did.
They went into people's places and said, "Hey, it's now ours." And they didn't even use flags. I don't think they. I mean, they use them to signal each other, but I don't know they conquered with the use of flags. It wasn't until the British that.
Yeah, I don't know. Romans. That's past flag. My time. I'm more of a Greek girl.
Okay, they're more. Their story is more of a unification through war.
Yeah.
It all ends tragically. Yeah. But the Romans, when they took over people, they would say, "Oh, you worship that god? Well, that god's name is now this."
Mm-hmm.
And it's Roman now.
Yep.
Rather than trying to change everything, they knew that the story wasn't going to go away.
Right. They knew that the narratives that the people already had were so powerful and so deeply entrenched that there was no way that they could say, "This is not true." Yep. They could just tweak it a little bit and say, "Now it's
within a couple generations, Dionysus is now Bacchus." Which, by the way, is fun because everyone got really mad about the Olympics and the Last Supper. And, oh my goodness, the Last Supper. It's not the Last Supper. It's Dionysus, which is also Bacchus. By the way, Dionysus, the god of revelry and joy. I like to say that I'm a follower. Maybe not a direct disciple, but I definitely would say if I had to ascribe to one church nowadays, I would go, I'm a fan of Dionysus, you know? And I think that if I do end up celebrating my religion, my Dionysian religion, I'm allowed to have a bacchanalia, whatever I want to call it, because it's my religion. And then the next day, I should be allowed to have the day off as a religious holiday to recover. At least that's my point. I think it'd be important to, you know, religious freedom for me to be able to have the day off if I go and worship Dionysus the night before. That's the important thing. We got our buddy Cam from Appleton on the line. Cam, you sent me an awesome picture of a chair, and I'm really happy. It's a three sheep's head chair, and it says not satanic.
Loses points for me for not being satanic.
I think if it had horns, it would be satanic, but also not as comfortable.
Probably.
No, but you'd probably be able to like sit in it a little bit cleaner, right?
That's true.
You would have like joysticks or handles to hold yourself there to brace yourself for the bass boost of your TV.
Oh, that's true too. That's very nice. I'm thinking about that Bose commercial.
On the subject of religion, it's kind of bizarre to me, having grown up. My mom would always tell me, this is her words, this is her belief, and I'm not going to take it away from her, but she never imposed it on other people. She was incredibly respectful to others. But when I was a kid, she said, "You can believe whatever you want, but it's my personal belief, and I'm not telling you it has to be yours. My personal belief that religion," and again, her words, "religion is stupid." And I was just kind of like, huh. So I thought about it as I got older, and I think when I was a teenager, I would be a lot more rebellious about it, right? Because it's like, oh gosh, you religious people are insane. Like, no. As I got a little bit older, I started to realize this can be incredibly beneficial for people, especially like as like a lifeline kind of a system, a lifeline community system for them to build experiences off of. It can just make them have a different outlet or support network when they're dealing with other things like depression. So that's cool, but it's really weird to me that through everything in history, kind of like how you mentioned when like they would claim all this land, how did people grow accustomed to the idea that people go through and rewrite the Bible, rewrite the rules to the game constantly, and then take it as if it was written thousands of years ago, and that's not true at all?
Well, you think about it, Cam, back in that day, they didn't have the internet, and it would take months for anything to get. Like I said, we're talking about our journey to Russia. You go there, just keep going and hope you get there before the snows melt. You know, things travel in such a long way so that, you know, cultural things come and go without even people knowing sometimes back then. And it's what resonates. It's what ends up being the decree of the land. And
it's the narrative that sticks.
And, you know, people nowadays, we have the internet in front of us. You can look right now and see what is happening and prove what is right and wrong in real time. And we still go and say, nah, this is what I believe.
It's a little weird that as our access to truth has skyrocketed,
yep,
our belief in truth has plummeted.
Yep. I'm telling you, it's a dangerous thing believing that you can come out of nothing and be something.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous thought. It's a wonderful thought. And it's dangerous too. Because all the former narratives were to, you know, respect authority. Authority is most important. Because you have to, because that's how we keep order, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can't have all these people thinking that they're amazing. Not everybody can be the most important thing ever.
True.
Well, I don't know. Andy Warhol is kind of right. Everybody's going to have their 15 minutes of fame, maybe a couple 15 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, the truth doesn't necessarily matter, even in the age of information, especially in the age of information. That's why, you know, Donald Trump can go in front of the NABJ and tell them that Kamala Harris isn't black.
Oh, my God.
Because it's a story, and his people will believe it because he's telling the story, and they like the stories he's telling. I don't know what it is, but that's what it is, you know? Stories are more important than the truth. You can't
stories
just...
are the truth.
That's it. By the way, St. Patrick got rid of snakes out of Ireland. It's true. Those snakes were people, though.
Yeah.
Turns out.
That's what no one tells you.
We'll wrap it up in a little bit with a big, nice sandwich. Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Brian Kelly. That's Jess spinning the tunes over there. This is Umphrey's McGee. Took a little bit of they made an album called Zonky.
Zonky?
Yeah.
I like that.
And it's all mashups.
Nice.
Like, but performed mashups, not like, you know, which is a different art form. I don't want to judge the art form. I'm just, they take, this one is, obviously, Dreams and Rock With You. And I Can't Feel My Face When I'm With You.
Can't Rock My Dream Face.
Can't Rock My Dream Face is the name of the song.
Yeah.
But they do like Sweet Sunglasses, which is I Wear My Sunglasses at Night, and Eurythmics. Sweet Dreams.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I'm getting confused with that. But they do a whole bunch of stuff, but I think it's a perfect song to end this whole culture thing on because it's a mashup of a whole bunch of different songs that come together and a nice amalgamation of pretty much what American culture is. And that's what America does, I think, better than anything else. I play a game called Civilization VI. You ever play that game? It's a...
I played Civ 4.
They're up to six. They're going to make a seven now. Six is amazing. They're all better than the other. You build your own empire of your country,
and
there's different leaders you can have for your country and things. And there's different ways you can win. You can win by killing everybody, and that's, you know, the world domination. Or you can win by having more culture points than everybody else, or more. And each country has their own specialty. Thing that they do better than everybody else. America has rock bands.
Yeah.
They have music and radio. And like one of their wonders is Broadway. And exporting culture. The reason why we can pretend that America is the greatest country on earth is because we told ourselves that and then we told the whole world that.
Loudly.
Through every movie we ever made. Like, every villain in every movie is some evil Russian gangster. Mm-hmm. If you go to Japan, it's the Yakuza. Mm-hmm. If you're in the Middle East, there's some sort of terrorist. If you go down to South America, there's some drug lord, you know, Escobar type of thing. And if it's in America, there's definitely some sort of drug lord black dude who's running the hood. And if you really want to go and press that narrative more, it's the black dude running the hood, but it's run by a white dude who tells him what to do. That's the narratives of evil people in America. And this is what we do. We export this culture across the world. And we say, this is who we are. This is what it is. This is what things are. And that not only do we export the idea of the American dream, but we export, you know, tropes and racism and culture that this partially shaven, you know, quippy guy is the hero of all of our lives. Han Solo is the give me back my family. You know, it's really important that Harrison Ford is the hero for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Kevin Costner, you know, this is the narrative we sell. This is what we've sold to the world. But if you look at the culture, if you look at the TV shows now, there's a lot of different things that it says, but I can tell you one thing that ties it all together. Food. Because everybody brought their food here, and thank then the goodness. Americans fried it. Because that's what the Europeans did. They fried it. And while a lot of European countries have some really amazing cuisine, I would say the collapse of the British Empire is their complete lack of food.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have, but you can get some really good curry in London.
Yeah.
Because sure of can. Culture, because of putting things together. You want to learn. I got into Asian culture because of food. You know what I like? Chinese food. That's so good.
That's what you had for lunch today.
I did again.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah. It, honestly, I wouldn't say it's Chinese. It's Chinese inspired. It's Panda Express. But I will say I associate Panda Express with flying because all of my experiences of flying, I would only get Panda Express only when I was flying. Like for whatever reason,
fair.
That was the thing at the food court at the airport. So for me,
I think that's a good choice in a food court.
Yeah. Well, especially, I mean, it's also usually freshly made most of the time.
Yeah.
You know,
you can actually get vegetables there.
I do get the super greens every time with it. But yeah, food is. Well, there's how many different shows? There's Top Chef, Last Chef, All the Chefs, Chefs,
all the chefs this, Iron Chef, Chef,
this Iron Chef, shoot 'em up. You have to have a burger that's with, you know, infused with gravy. I don't know. It's just like we have become a huge food culture, but it's not. It wouldn't be that way if we didn't accept all the cultures, and that's the way to bring people together. If you can if you can accept somebody and have a meal with them or cook for them or make something and have them enjoy it, that is the basis of being socialized as a human. The Chinese, they don't just say hi. If it translates roughly to have you eaten?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
I love that. That's so good.
That's what it's about. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter about where you're from, what you're doing. If you can, we all have to eat. And if you can make a good food for somebody, it works out. Mm-hmm. And it brings me back to that caller I was telling you about that we started off the show with. Greg from the road yesterday, he had a completely different point of view. He does not like Trump necessarily, but he might vote for him because he feels his story is that he was better under Trump than he was under Biden.
Mm-hmm.
But I can relate to him. You know why? Because we both like burgers, and he was talking about cops. I was talking about Oscars. And at the end of it, we both like BLTs.
Yeah.
And who doesn't like a BLT? I'll tell you, there's a lot of religious cultures that don't like BLTs.
Yeah.
And that's fine with them. Missing out, more BLTs for me. And that's what it is. It's about, you know, enjoying and appreciating everything together. So this is Brian Kelly. We're going to wrap up here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Filling in, she's going to be back in about a week or so. This Monday, we're going to have a pre-record. It's Robin DiAngelo, author of White Fragility, probably the most important show we've done on this network in a long time. Check that out on Monday. And I'll see you later. I'll stand up for you. I hope you guys stand up for me. This is Brian Kelly, the Maggie Don Show. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.